Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Kopp.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week we are in the 1980s.
Well, yeah. Which I remember all of, and you were only alive
for 7 years.
You were going to the bathroom in your pants.
Not even 7 years.
For at least 5 or 6 years of those.
Yes. Well, I've been going to the bathroom in my pants for 5 or 6 years of the 2000s at this point. So. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Just in case you were wondering. Okay. But this week is our 80s show, and we just sort of figured that out because we were looking at the slate of movies and DVDs and things, and we've got nothing but 80s throwbacks. We're going to talk about Son of Rambo, which is set in the 80s.
And Indiana Jones, which is a sequel to three movies that came out
in the 80s.
Throughout the 80s, 81 to 89.
Exactly. So plenty of 80s references. But before we get to that, a little bit of how you can get a hold of us. You can get us over at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And back again is our official phone number. It works. I tried it. I'm not sure if you can leave a voicemail yet. I'm still kind of working on that.
We could try it right now.
But let's not. We tried it last week, and I was embarrassed.
Oh, you're embarrassed when it's like,
but
this
if you would like to call us, you can call 614-388-8735. That is 388-TREK.
Yeah, and I gave an alternate number last week, and nobody called it.
Well, so it's like, I don't think anyone was going to call us anyways.
Except for somebody wanting to know about your credit card.
Yes, but towards the end of the show, we're going to reveal some details about another call-in opportunity.
Yes.
And potentially live film school rejects.
Sure.
But we'll talk about that a lot later.
I'm really tired.
You're really tired?
I'm really tired.
Why are you really tired?
Because I have a new baby at home.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like nothing but like feeding and waking up and changing diapers. Then you got to worry about the kid. But.
Hey, man, you're the one who did the deed.
Yeah, I'm not denying it. I mean,
you pay
the
price for your crimes.
I love my son, but yeah, it takes its toll after 2 weeks.
You don't look tired.
That's because I always look like this. Oh, I have bags under my eyes.
I just always look the same.
It's because I got two black eyes. I was in a bar brawl.
Well,
I brought my kid into a bar and somebody said I shouldn't have. And I'm like, whatever. So I punched him in the face. Then my kid got into it.
Yeah. He somehow won the fight.
You know, we have this really cute... Oh, go on.
No, that's really the whole story.
Okay. We have this really cute picture of my wife. Had to take pictures of everybody holding the kid. And one of her friends.
Even strangers, just like random.
Just random strangers. Just
awesome.
Grab him.
Cool.
Some wino, and he's like, smells of urine. I'm like, perfect. The baby smells of urine. But we have this picture of my wife's friend from school, and she's holding Nicholas, and Nicholas is flipping her off.
That's awesome.
He's flipping her the bird.
This kid is already on his way.
We're corrupting
as
him.
They say. I believe that the Film School Rejects staff is going to successfully corrupt your now youngest son.
Yes.
So, because I think we're well on our way to corrupting the other two.
Oh, yeah.
I keep giving them gifts. Eventually.
Yeah, kind of creepy.
Eventually. Well, no, it's like fun stuff.
Well, no, when you give them like backpacks and hats and t-shirts, that's cool. But when you give them like, you know, a cocktail napkin with your phone number on it, that's really creepy.
See, that's the part that I don't think is true.
Okay.
But
we're just rambling. Like I said, I'm very tired. And to answer the question from last week, I had a chance to think about it. My favorite Muppet is the Swedish Chef. Did I say the Swedish Chef?
I've actually thought about it as well, and I believe that it's the two guys that sit in the balcony.
Oh, Statler and Waldorf.
Yes.
Now, here's the question. Do you know who's who?
Oh. Waldorf's the tall one. Statler's the fat one.
No, I think it's the other way around. Actually, I don't know for sure.
Who really does know? Jim Henson's not alive, so we can't really find out.
Well, I'm sure it's written down somewhere.
I doubt it.
I'm sure that
Jim Henson was a mysterious dude like that.
I'm sure that when they hung up one of the dolls, they have a Statler peg and a Waldorf peg.
Or maybe they're on the same peg.
I did come
Statler
to the realization.
Statler and Waldorf.
Ooh.
Wow.
But how do you know which one's on which side?
You just don't.
Well, and here's the thing, and this is getting ahead of ourselves because we're going to talk DVDs later.
Not even.
We're derailing from the beginning.
Yeah.
But I realized I don't think I'd ever want to go on the Muppet Show. Not that it's around anymore. But I wouldn't want to work.
Because you're a big enough celebrity now where you wouldn't have to go on the Muppet Show.
Well,
I think that's really.
They had Sylvester Stallone as a guest in the third season.
Oh, see?
Which is hilarious. But this is why, and it's not that I'm like a racist against puppets. Although, you know, you might, if you watch Greg the Bunny, you know what an issue that is. But I wouldn't want to, like, I couldn't, it would just, like, ruin everything for me. I'd walk in there and I'd see somebody down on the floor with their hand up the Muppet's rear side, and
right.
I'd be, like, just scarred.
Okay.
Fair and enough. I couldn't like, you know, have a sexy scene with, like, Miss Piggy, because it'd be Frank Oz down there, and I'd be like, oh, the Yoda guy.
Why? Where? What? How did this conversation turn to?
It's the 80s.
Okay. Well, speaking of the 80s, we've got our first movie that we're going to talk about. It is Son of Rambo, and it is a light British comedy about two boyhood friends whose homage to First Blood gets a little bit out of control.
You are going to be the stuntman in the film I'm making for Screenters.
I am the son of Rambo!
You want to be the son of Rambo?
Promise me you'll put these things out of your mind, William.
I'm not supposed to be friends with you.
What? What's wrong with me?
It's our religion. If they find out we're friends, then I'll be in the worst trouble ever.
Are you that little boy making a film?
Mm-hmm.
Can we be in it, please?
I will be star of your movie.
So, Neil, what do you think of Son of Rambo?
Wow.
It's the worst British accent.
You know,
ever.
when we listened to the clip and you said, hey, I'll come back from this clip, I had to know something like that was coming. But
no, you have to do it in a British accent.
I don't want to.
Yes.
I'm an American. I love British people.
Okay.
British women, British movies. Like this movie. I absolutely love this
movie.
I
want you to review it as a British woman.
I don't.
Please.
I'll sound like Mrs. Doubtfire.
I'll review it for Neil as a British woman.
Hello, I'm Neil Miller, and I loved Son of Rambo. It made me just warm and fuzzy inside. Thank you very much.
Well, I don't know if
have
I agree with the
crumpets.
Necessarily with the warm and fuzzy, but it's such a smart little movie, and it takes you back to being a little kid during the 80s, and even if you...
When you had oppressive religious parents.
Exactly, and you lived in Britain. But it's about these two kids, and they become friends. They're very unlikely friends. It's a very simple story. Like, there is nothing, I would say, innovative about the plot. But
it reminded me a lot of Be Kind Rewind to a degree, because they were sort of
right,
like making their own
making their
movies.
Own Rambo. But it's a lot cuter than Be Kind Rewind, because it's the two kids, and the two kids are just they're awesome in this movie.
And Jack Black is not in it, and he does not scat in the movie.
Right,
either.
There's no scatting in this movie. I thought that they did, Garth Jennings directed it, and they did a very good job of keeping, there's this whole religious kind of backstory to it, and that was important, but it wasn't, you know,
it didn't try
to make a statement.
The deal is the one kid, is his family's very religious, and
right.
He's not allowed to watch television, and he's sort of like, this is his rebellion.
Right, so. Exactly, and that's, I just thought it was very creative, very easy to watch, very entertaining. I don't know. We didn't see it together, so
yeah.
What'd you think?
I thought it was cute, and I thought it worked for what it was. What I identified with it is, when I was in school, even though I'm a complete obnoxious, donkey.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, in real life, when I was a kid, I was the good kid, so I
right.
knew exactly what it was like to be the good kid and have a friend who was not the one that teachers always like said to you, go, you shouldn't hang out with him.
Right.
And I thought it was really cute. It's a sweet movie. And it was cute, but it wasn't great. It dragged mm-hmm. a little bit in parts. But the 80s throwbacks were fun. But
yeah.
I'm going to have to say it kind of rocked.
I'm going to say it totally rocks. It touched my 80s baby heart. So
that's gross.
Cool. Is that it? Is
yes.
that all we got?
Neil, there is a movie opening this weekend, and the reason Son of Rambo, we covered it. Well, we covered Son of Rambo didn't open, though, everywhere, just open in Columbus, which is where we're from. That's the only reason we're covering it.
Right, and I think people should go see it, because it's out.
Yeah.
Why not?
Go see it, because it's out.
If for no other reason.
Yes.
I have a question. Are we going to do the thing that we always do, where we're like, some little indie comedy came out, and it's called Indiana Jones?
Oh, you blew my surprise.
Oh, man, because I hate that. I hate when we do that.
It's fun.
I remember, what was it, 3 weeks ago? We're like, this
Iron
little
man.
Movie called Iron Man is coming out. I think people probably sit there and go, these guys are idiots.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but I don't think it has anything to do with sort of our setup for big summer movies.
So anyways, the next movie we're going to talk about is a small art house independent flick from a director you may have never heard of before. No, in all seriousness, what is it?
Postal.
Oh, are we going to talk about Postal?
We'll talk about Postal later on, but this segment we got to talk about Indiana Jones.
Yeah, introduce this thing.
And the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Indy's back for a fourth film with the Russians, Marion Ravenwood, and Shia LaBeouf.
Woohoo, Shia LaBeouf.
Legend says that a crystal skull was stolen from a mythical lost city in the Amazon, supposedly built out of solid gold, guarded by the living dead. Whoever returns the skull to the city temple will be given control over its power.
You will help us find it.
Before I start talking about how much I absolutely loved this movie, and I did.
Are you going to review it in a Russian accent?
No, I won't, because Indiana Jones isn't Russian. But I will say this. In listening to that clip, Harrison Ford really sounds old at the beginning. He sounds older in that clip than he looks in the movie.
Okay.
So
he's old and... He's getting old.
He pulled it off, though, I thought.
I totally thought he pulled it off.
Yeah. But I'll say, I was 9 when the first one came out. Uh-huh. And, like, when I was 12, I saw the Temple of Doom in the theaters, and I was perfect age for that.
Right.
And they're ripping hearts out of guys and throwing them into lava, and I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Right.
So, I mean, I have it in my blood, and in that respect, I absolutely love the movie. It was worth the 19-year wait. If you go to this thing and you're like putting Indiana Jones as this icon that you can't do that all it is it can't be tarnished at all, and it's more perfect than the films really were. Yeah, you're gonna find problems with it. You're gonna be annoyed at certain scenes, but if you just go as just a fan who wants a good solid, you know, classic action movie in the spirit of the original movies, this one is one of the best ones of the year, in my opinion.
Yes. And as always, I'm on the complete opposite side of it, despite the fact that I feel our end grades are not going to be too far apart. Hmm. But when I was -2 when the first one came out, so I'm one of those not...
You're just a gleam in your mother's eye and daddy's...
Right. I'm not a child of the 80s. I'm a baby of the 80s. Mm-hmm.
As we proved, you pooped your pants through most of the 80s.
Right. And most of the 90s. But the one thing that I've always loved about Indiana Jones is it has. It's always been that very big movie franchise in the sky. And I didn't really discover what was so great about it until later in life. Hmm. Or later... More recently, I guess.
Later in life.
I'm not later in life.
When I was in my 60s, in my autumn years, I was learning about Indiana Jones.
But I can see where that a lot of people have some problems with it, because a lot of people had problems with George Lucas with Episode One and some of the ways he just kind of...
Let me just throw out
around.
There
are some George Lucas moments in this movie that people are not going to like.
There's no Jar Jar Binks, though.
There's no Jar Jar Binks, no.
Yeah. And I think people will compare it to... A lot of people... I compare it to Episode One simply because Episode One was the first time in like 15 years you had a chance to see a new Star Wars movie.
Right.
And there were a lot of flaws in it, but it was still awesome. But I will say, as in terms of coming back, this Indiana Jones movie is way better than Episode One was as a comeback.
Right. And I think... That honestly, when I look at it, it does. It comes with a few problems, and you can tell that there was probably some kind of, not a battle or a fight, but there were parts where George Lucas kind of came in and said, well, why don't we do this? And Steven Spielberg probably just got fed up and said, all right, fine. You know, there are two scenes in particular. There's one that involves a refrigerator.
Which was hilarious.
It was very funny, but... For those who take it a little too seriously, you're going to be like, there's no way.
Well, you know what? It's something that, let's put it this way, you or I wouldn't survive this, let alone Indiana Jones.
Right.
But I think the reason they did that, mm-hmm. I think every flaw, everything you can pick apart, people can say, well, this is probably why they did it. I took that as saying, look, we're going to put him in this situation, mm-hmm. and he's going to survive with like just a scrape on his face
right.
to show, hey, we're not making a serious action film
exactly.
here.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's what people forget is that these movies, they are silly. I mean, even go back to Raiders and Temple of Doom and Last Crusade, there's just silly stuff yeah. that happens.
Raiders was the least silly of the
right.
three.
Right, it was the most, I'd say, gritty. Of the three, and that's mm-hmm. that's why it's kind of a fan favorite. But I would compare Kingdom of the Crystal Skull most to Last Crusade in the sense that it's a lighter film. It's almost done for fun. Like yeah. you can tell that Spielberg and Lucas and Harrison Ford and all these people that came back to make this movie the fourth time around just did it because they could and they wanted to make another one. And also, it's very nostalgic. It does at times pay homage to Raiders, and it really kind of flashes you back into the other films. And I think for somebody who's a fan of the series, this is kind of the only way that you could do it successfully. I don't know what people are really looking for out of this movie. It's not going to take the series up a notch. It is yeah. Indiana Jones, you know?
Well, and the only way to have really taken it up a notch is to make it like a Michael Bay film with the moving cameras all right. over the place and massive digital effects, which I think would have ruined it. They actually went back to sort of that older school mm-hmm. look and feel. Even though there's plenty of digital effects,
right?
You don't have dinosaurs coming out after right. them or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. But also, I agree with you. I don't know what everyone was expecting. I don't know what, in terms of the people that are like really getting down on it. I mean, right. there are some people that are just like, oh, that was terrible. And I'm like, mm-hmm. because you know what? From the beginning of the movie, the first shot of the movie, they tip their hand and say, we're going to pay homage to the original film.
Right.
But we're going to do it tongue in cheek with the right. whole, with the logo, because they always start it with the, yep. with the Paramount
they
logo,
did the old Paramount logo,
and it fades into a mountain. And I won't tell you what it is right. for the fans who want to see it, but you look at it and you go, okay, that's not exactly what I was expecting. So they're like, oh, we're just going to have a little fun here.
Right. And I think it's, I don't know. I thought it was a lot of fun. I read a review, and I'm totally just stealing reviews from other people at this point.
Yeah, because you said you wrote a review Sunday night when we saw it.
I did, and I haven't posted it yet. But probably the best thing I can say is that it's very rare nowadays to get a movie that is just so light and easy and immensely entertaining that it's almost like we forgot how to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know? So then when a movie like this does come along that really hasn't, we haven't had one of these in so long, that you know, some people are just fighting to let themselves enjoy it, you know.
Well, and I think some people hold it up so high in their minds,
yeah, it's just
that it can't live up to it. Because I went back and I watched the first three movies, and yes, Raiders is a different movie because it's done much more serious and it's not trying to live up to itself or anything like that. But Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and Last Crusade, those had tons of silliness in there and tons of stuff
yeah.
that you could sort of, you know, laugh at and goof on.
Yeah.
And I remember when it reminds me a lot of when the Star Wars prequels came out, and there was a guy, you know, and he was like in college at the time. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, these aren't like they were when I was a kid. And I'm like, you watched them on video, man. Right. What are you talking about? The episode, it was better special effects, but there's ridiculously corny dialogue. And even like Empire, mm-hmm. which everyone holds up as the greatest one,
right?
Which I think of the first trilogy, it's one of the best structured. It had some really, really corny dialogue, bad jokes, overused jokes, and you know, it wasn't the pinnacle that everyone remembers it as. And so,
right,
you know, even sort of like the pacing of the action in the original Indiana Jones movies, I was watching it. I showed my kids, and I was like watching. I'm like going, you know, yeah, this is good, and I love it. But it's different than how they direct action films now.
Right, right. So I think that I honestly think that if you go into it not expecting the best of the four, you're going to come out of it entertained.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly, talking to people that really didn't like it, I just cannot see why they took it that seriously and wanted to look into it that deeply.
Or there were some critics yeah. at the screening, one in particular, who was like, who hated it. And I'm just like, yeah. you're like the people at Cannes who are like, oh, I didn't like that movie. It was bad because right. it didn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This Steven Spielberg's just kind of doing this for fun at this point. He can do that. He's Steven Spielberg.
Absolutely. But I say totally rocks.
I say totally rocks as well. When we come back, we've got more stuff. And now that we've gotten all of these movies out of the way, it's time to come to my...
All of these movies, Son of Rambo and Indiana Jones. That little art house film.
Yes, it's time to come to my favorite part of the show this week, where we get to talk about how Chronicles of Narnia pretty much just kind of lived up to half of the expectations that people had for it.
No, like two-thirds. You're talking 70 to 80 million. Then it started getting higher, but really the realistic estimates was around 70 to 80. Right.
Officially, it finished at 55 million. And I would also like to point out that Iron Man finished at 30, which I predicted, and I don't think anybody else did.
Great.
I'm predicting the power of Iron Man. It's not going to stand up for anything this
week. I will say for absolutely sure Indiana Jones is going to rip Iron Man's chest off and eat it.
Well,
wake up, Neil. I'm the one who's tired.
I don't know about ripping his chest off.
Okay.
But it's in a lot of theaters.
Well, let's first talk last week.
Yeah.
This is the thing with...
What happened with Chronicles of Narnia last week?
I actually I have a little bit of a theory on this.
I have a theory, too.
Do you want to go first so I can rip your theory? Yes, go ahead.
They did not screen it at a convenient time and date for me.
Well, I think part of that, yes. I think they didn't... They pulled back on the marketing on this. To be honest... Especially watching kids' networks, because my kids watch it all the time, it was not as pervasive of advertising as other films. Not that,
like,
I mean,
Speed Racer
was really pervasive, but I think what totally killed Speed Racer was it was too long.
Right.
Absolutely. If there was one thing that they could have changed, edit 30 minutes out of that movie, and people would have seen it much, much more than they did. It would have doubled its gross.
Right.
Just because I think parents looked at that and were like, wow, that's a long movie. Narnia, exactly. Different. Even though Narnia was longer, it had more to it.
Right.
You know, so, but I think they didn't, there wasn't the push for Narnia. And you made this point last week where it was like, it's kind of like they were just assuming it was going to do well.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't think it did, because they were pushing this at Comic-Con last year. So stop looking at email.
I'm not.
Okay. I know you. But I think that they're going to, I don't think that they marketed it well enough. I don't think they really did.
I definitely, especially, and I think Disney could learn something from this, at least. Hopefully Pixar learned something from this, because I don't think even WALL-E has the awareness now that Narnia did going into it. So I would, if I were them, I would make sure that the marketing strategy is strong when it comes to their other movies this year, because
I think they're marketing WALL-E more. And the reason,
right.
I think they didn't market Prince Caspian because
they didn't want to show it off as being too dark.
Well, that I think they're a little afraid of that. And the thing is, it wasn't that much darker, but it got that reputation.
Right.
It wasn't as warm and fuzzy.
Right.
I would say
and
that
they,
it wasn't nice.
I don't think they really did anything to get the word out there to the public that it was lighter or that it wasn't too dark. They just allowed, I think they really, Disney just kind of allowed the court of public opinion to seize verdict and didn't give any more evidence.
Well, part of the other thing is, and when I actually would say it's not that it's darker, because I went back and watched the original Narnia, and there's some really dark moments in
right.
that. And it's very violent, too, in terms of battle sequences. So I don't think it's any more or less violent. It's the fact that you're dealing with people instead of mythical creatures
right.
that they're fighting against. And the other thing with Narnia is I think they just assumed that like all these like church groups were going to come out in droves and see it, which is what happened with the first one. And
right.
and there is a bit of a sentiment that they're that sort of like that hardcore Christian conservatives are. It's not that they're staying away, but they're not mobilizing like they used to, like with Passion of the Christ
right.
and Narnia and that sort of thing. But ultimately, Narnia didn't fail.
Mm-hmm.
55 million ain't bad for a box office, you know.
Right.
Bow.
Yeah. I would like to say that all the hardcore Christian people are waiting for that Kevin Smith porno movie to come out so they can protest it.
I think so. Yeah, possibly.
Because they really think it's porno.
Well, I think I was reading somewhere that somebody said that they're sort of feeling used by some of these marketing machines.
Yeah, sure.
So, but it didn't fail. It was 55 million. So,
you're right. It's not a failure, but I think it really didn't meet the expectations of anybody involved.
No.
So
and it missed it by it wasn't like Speed Racer where they're like, oh, this movie might make $40 million and it makes 18.
Right, you exactly. Know? It wasn't quite as bad as Speed Racer. But I think we should talk about something positive.
Okay.
Like Iron Man.
Well, okay, Iron Man. This is the thing.
$223 million.
Wonderful.
I believe that I successfully predicted that it would do over $200 million, and
I never doubted it would do over $200 million.
If we go back, I bet you we could find a point in one of the shows where you were like, "No way."
No, I never said that. I would have expected it to make $200 million.
150.
It looks like it's probably going to crack 300, which is cool.
Which
it depends
is awesome.
On how. Well, this is the other thing. It depends. It hasn't quite had the competition yet.
That's true.
And so we don't know. I mean, it might peter
away.
Out. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it's doing very well. What's weird is I liked Iron Man, but I didn't love it.
Right.
And it seems to really get it has a huge following.
Well, I think Iron Man benefited from Speed Racer not doing so well. So, you know, that third week when people, if they didn't want to go see Narnia, they kind of looked at, well, Speed Racer didn't do that well. You know, maybe we'll just go see Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it did get a lot of traffic during the week. Like, I just remember during that first week, it was making $10 million a day during the week, you know?
Yeah.
So I think no matter what happens, whether it cracks $300 million or not, $436 million worldwide, that is a pretty successful. I'm happy for Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
I think the most because this proves that, you know, they can make a movie that is their way, that they get their own director that they want, and they don't have other studios butting in the case of like DC and Warner Brothers.
Well, DC and
Justice
Warner
Brothers,
what's funny is Warner owns DC.
Yeah.
And so, in essence, it is making its own movies.
Well, theoretically,
and
yeah.
They don't do it very well all the time.
But, you know, it's good to see Marvel because, as we found out in the last couple of weeks, they're going to make more movies.
Yeah.
Make movies like Thor and Captain America and Avengers. And I think for comic book fans, which is our people, I'd say those are our people.
Our people, okay.
We have people, I think.
Sure.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. One more thing about Narnia, yeah. What's going to save it is if it does well in international box office.
Yeah, I have a feeling. I don't know. What is
well,
it
right now it didn't do a wide global release. It's got like open in India and places like that. It once it goes into like Europe is a lot of Europe,
right.
And it didn't open in Japan yet. I don't think it opened in China yet.
Well, there's a lot of
it
those
hasn't opened in
too.
China. It hasn't opened in Germany. It hasn't opened in the UK, especially the UK since it's originally a British
film.
You know, British source material,
right.
Because that's really what helped. Because everyone touts the whatever it made 200 and some million,
right?
In
but it made like 400 million.
Yeah,
worldwide.
It would like doubled that with its or tripled that with when you threw in the
right, exactly.
International gross.
Yeah, and I think that's important. There are movies like Mr. Bean that made what 20 million in the States.
Oh, Mr. Bean's Holiday. Yeah,
like 250 million overseas.
Yeah, in like the UK alone.
Yeah, so. You know, Narnia, I guess we can't get down on it too much, but I think, you know, in the United States right now, it had 1 week to really be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it going much further.
Well,
and that leads us to this week.
I think that I think we'll end up getting it. We'll get the third movie.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get the third movie.
Now, if the third movie doesn't do well, you won't see the other four.
Right.
So
it won't be like the Harry Potter whatnots. Yeah. But speaking of fourth movies...
Indiana Jones.
We have to predict this Indiana Jones thing.
Well,
this is a tough one.
Well, and it's weird too because it's opening on Thursday and it's going through Memorial Day. So it's you're not just talking about the weekend; you're talking about the 3 day weekend, and you're talking about with Thursday night.
Right.
And to be fair, you got to say on Wednesday night too, because in Columbus, where we're from, it's like at one of the theaters I saw it has like 3 midnight showings.
Yeah.
In a single theater.
Mm-hmm.
So. This is the number that I've heard thrown around. It could be in upwards of $175 million for the whole 5 day weekend. That's the highest number I've seen thrown out.
I think that, I mean, that's high.
That's really high.
That's wicked high. But I don't, it wouldn't surprise me, I guess. I think that's the whole point is that, you know, if it came out and just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me. And I don't think bad reviews are going to hurt this movie.
But and the funny thing is, it's really not getting that bad of reviews.
Right. Overall, it's getting pretty...
Like, if you go to Rotten Tomatoes,
pretty solid reviews.
It's been fluctuating because reviews have been leaking out, you know, slowly through the week. But it's something like it's in the 70s, 80s% in terms of tomato meter, which is really, really good for for.
I just think there's been a few loud voices that have been very, very adamant about it. But I think it's funny because I would urge people with Indiana Jones, if you're looking at reviews this weekend, kind of take into consideration how old the critic is. Because a lot of the people that I've heard that are bashing it are more my age, and a lot of the people that loved it are more Kevin's age.
Yes.
And those are the people that actually saw it.
So if you like wet your pants, if you wet your pants through the 80s, you may not like it as much.
This is true. So honestly, I think it's going to do easily. I would say if we're going to predict five,
is it going to be?
It's going to be near 150 million.
Iron Man big or an Iron Man and a half? Big.
I don't think it's going to be an Iron Man and a half. I mean, if Iron Man came out on Wednesday and had this much buzz and this much marketing, like, Indiana Jones is way beyond what Iron Man,
because it's ridiculous how much marketing there is on Indiana Jones.
I don't think you can avoid it. I honestly think this right now, but having seen it, I want it to be the biggest movie this summer.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
I love Batman. I love The Dark Knight. I want that to do very well, but I think Indiana Jones is probably going to be one of the most entertaining films of the summer.
Here's your question. So. We'll talk about Postal in the next segment. But I want to ask you, what are your thoughts on the saying that George Lucas has suggested to do a fifth movie with Shia LaBeouf as the main adventure character and Indiana Jones?
Well, I think that's one of the things that I think I missed when we were talking about it in the last segment, was that Shia LaBeouf was surprisingly good in the film. And I say surprising because it'll probably surprise other people. Personally, after seeing Disturbia and Transformers, I think the guy's a good actor. And there's no denying that.
Hollywood loves this kid.
Yeah, and Spielberg and George Lucas love this kid too. He's like Spielberg's adopted kid.
Yeah, as long as he stays away from Walgreens at 3 a.m. But I think he could. I really think he could take this up. And I was never a big Shia LaBeouf fan. It took me a long time to warm up to him because I always remember him as a little kid from Even Stevens.
Right, right. As do I.
But I think he's. I think he's turning into a good actor, and he's very, very good. He's got great presence. I mean, girls like him because he's pretty, and guys like him because they cannot identify with him.
Yeah, I think if they could do a fifth one if they kept Harrison Ford around. In the movie, not necessarily as Indiana Jones, the adventurer.
I think they got as a character.
Yeah, not as the lead adventurer.
What would kill it is if they tried to reboot the franchise.
Right,
that would
kill. Try to reboot the franchise, yeah. or you know, throw Brendan Fraser in there or something. But almost as if they did like Peter a Dinklage Last Crusade thing with a different family unit. But Sean Connery's, I don't know,
whatever.
Anyways, when we come back, we're going to talk about more Indiana Jones stuff. As we come into our internet only segment.
Yeehaw.
For those of you who are joining us on the internet,
because that's really the only place you can get us on the internet only segment.
Yes, you've probably visited filmschoolrejects.com before, and this week, if you've been over there, you've seen our big fancy official guide to Indiana Jones,
which is way cool.
Which is pretty cool.
And expertly written, I might say.
Yes, I will say publicly thanks to Kevin Carr for writing.
And Nate Dean, he helped out a lot.
Kevin and Nate pretty much put together the entire history of Indiana Jones. All I did was make the little logos and stuff. I really didn't do a whole lot.
You made it look pretty.
Yes, my job is to make it look pretty and hit the publish button when it's done.
Nice.
So, but really, I think it's a great feature and a very successful feature so far. So it's something we're going to do a lot more of down the road with some bigger movies that come out later in the summer.
We're going to have a complete guide to porno.
We are
in the Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
Wow,
be like Kevin Carr's favorite porno movie, favorite porno actress,
favorite porn. Wow, we could really
nobody does a deep throat like so and so. But when it comes to taking it up the butt, this girl is better.
Oh,
I get out there and offend early and often.
Fantastic idea. You have no idea. Film School Rejects Official Guide to Porno. We'll have writers that will quit over that.
Well, my favorite line was, there was somebody mentioned porno in a post, and Cole, one of the writers, mm-hmm. goes, and he goes, "What is this porno you speak of?" And I know, for I've met the guy, I know for the fact he knows what this porno is we speak of.
He's very aware of the porno. Yeah. But speaking of something that's just not porn at all, let's go back to good old American Indiana Jones.
Those art house films from the 80s?
These art house films from the 80s that did absolutely no box office. But we're going to run through the... this list has been up, so you may have already seen it. If so, sorry.
Unlike last week, where the list never went up.
Yeah, we just... sometimes we like to throw it around, you know, keep you...
Sometimes we're working
toes.
On the Indiana Jones
yeah,
preview.
Sometimes we're working on the Indiana Jones thing instead of doing our lists from the week before. Yeah. But this is the 10 most memorable moments in the Indiana Jones franchise. And I think probably one of the toughest lists. I mean, this took two people.
Well, and it's over the three films. So you could do 50.
Exactly. It's probably one of the toughest, but we've successfully narrowed it down to 10.
Like Nate sent me, we were sending notes back and forth, and Nate sent me like a list of like pretty much every scene from every yeah. movie. And I'm like, okay, I got 800 moments.
There's like 50 from each film here. I don't know.
And it's so hard to trim it because people would be like, what about this scene? This thing was awesome. And
right.
I'm like, well.
Right. And we've gotten a lot of comments on the site, quite a few comments yes. on the site as of time of record of people telling us, not necessarily that we're wrong, just more of a...
It's a great place to say, hey, this was my favorite.
This is my favorite scene. And also, if you have a favorite scene, this is a good time for me to mention that we're giving away the Indiana Jones trilogy. We have a couple copies of that. And all you have to do is go on to Film School Rejects on the contest page. And it says, you know, you have to be a subscriber to our email updates, which is no big deal. It's just one email a day. You'll survive. It also automatically can get you into all kinds of cool contests and giveaways, but you also have to leave your favorite scene in the comment area.
And your social security number, your mother's maiden name, and your home address, and birthday.
Well, yes, but all those have a little asterisk. They are optional.
Not for me.
Okay.
Send them to me. And hot chicks' phone numbers.
And hot chicks' phone numbers. So, wow. Where do I go from that?
To number 10 on the list.
So number 10 on the list, which is the three challenges from The Last Crusade. Which you remember from the penitent man.
The penitent man. Penitent.
And then the leap of faith.
It's the breath of God. The
breath of God.
The word of God.
Uh-huh.
And what was the last one? The leap.
The leap of faith, I think.
Was it something of God. Whatever.
Yeah.
The only a leap from the lion's head, blah, blah, blah.
Right. So. Exactly. Cool.
Number 9, another one from The Last Crusade, the Jones boys all tied up where, you know, the whole dad, what, you know,
right.
scene, and they have to try and get escape from the tied up chair in a burning place because
Sean Connery accidentally lights the place on fire.
Yeah, the elder Jones accidentally burns the house down.
So number 8 is the mine chase from Temple of Doom that involved Indiana and Short Round.
And Willie Scott.
Okay.
The Steven Spielberg's future wife,
yes.
who was quite hot.
Kate Capshaw.
She was
quite hot.
She ain't bad
in
now.
A lot of things.
She's not bad now, but I'll tell you, back then,
mm-hmm.
she was blonde and buxom and, you know, like 28 or whatever. She was totally
right.
hot.
I still like Marion Ravenwood, though.
Yeah. Well, that's good for you.
Yeah.
Number 7. What I call it the I hate snakes moment of which is not where he tells Jock the plane. Pilot that he hates
right.
snakes, but when he falls into the Well of the Souls and mm-hmm. the cobra's there and he's got to deal with all the snakes and they're coming
right.
down the walls.
Yep, and he lights the what does he do? He gets the gas thing out.
He pours gasoline
he pours
all over.
Gasoline
him.
All over and lights on fire.
And now here's the question, and this
Mad
is actually
snakes.
brought up by Mad Magazine in their mm-hmm. parody way back in '81. Okay, they've never been in this Well of the Souls for thousands of years. How the heck did the snakes get in there?
The wall.
Yeah, but who's putting them there? Those snakes, who fed the snakes?
They eat each other.
No, they don't. No, how many snakes did they start with?
They're magic snakes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, move on.
Don't worry about why they're there. Number 6 is when Hitler signs the Henry Jones diary in The Last Crusade. the Fuhrer himself.
Yeah. Well, and what's funny with this one is it's one of the few that you see on top 10, because there are a bunch of lists floating around right, best moments. Yeah. This is one of those unique ones that I thought.
Right.
Exactly. Let me do the next one since you're a little bit chilly willy on this.
Yeah, this
stuff.
Is ugh.
Snake Surprise and Chilled Monkey Brains. Mm-hmm. My kids loved the scene, and I loved it when I was a kid. And what's great about it, if you watch it, having kids and watching the Indiana Jones movies, they got kind of bored in Raiders and Last Crusade when they're kind of giving the exposition of what they have to find and why they have to find it. They were Spielberg did a great thing with this one, is he's like, well, while they're talking and doing all this boring exposition, we're just going to gross all the kids out. And they cut open a snake, and eels fall out, and they have chilled monkey brains and eyeball soup.
Right.
And eating bugs.
Yeah, it's all pretty gross.
Awesome.
I would like to say, officially traumatized by that. And but the funny part was, I was not traumatized by number 4 on the list, which was the face melting scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
How old were you when you saw Raiders?
I have no idea. But I know I was younger than when I saw Temple of Doom. Okay. I mean, I was like probably 6 or 7 or around that age.
Like, I was 9 when that came out, and I remember watching the ending, and then suddenly, boom, their faces just turned into goop.
Yeah.
And I was like, this movie is awesome.
So, but for some reason, that never stuck out more than the monkey brains and I think what's next on our list.
Okay, next one. Should I do this one?
Sure.
What I like to call Burn Your Heart Out, where Mola Ram reaches into the chest of a guy and holds his beating heart up, lowers him into a pit of lava, and the heart turns into flames.
Yes.
Awesome. Now, here's an interesting story. I don't think I've told this on the radio.
Okay.
My kids are almost—they're getting ready to turn 5 and 7 in June, so they're pretty much 5 and 7. And I was showing them these movies because I needed to watch them again. I kind of wanted to see them again, and I thought they'd like it. The first one I showed them was Temple of Doom. I figured that's the most, for as violent as it is, it's the most kid friendly because it's got Short Round in it, and the pacing's really good for kids.
Plus, chronologically, I mean,
it's actually chronological order,
yeah.
But my kids, they like that one the best. But I'm watching, my wife's all worried. She's like, this is violent. I go, okay.
Right.
After the snake surprise scene, because I figure that's just gross out. Then I said, well, you can't watch this scene. And they're like, why? And I'm like, well, it's too violent for you. You're only 5 and 7. And they're like, what happens? And I'm like,
we just watched Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah. Well, and I'm like, well, he reaches in the guy's chest and pulls out his heart and then lowers him into a pit of lava. And they go, oh, man, we need to see that. We need to see it. So I showed it to him. Didn't faze him. No nightmares whatsoever. Yeah. They had more nightmares from Monster Squad.
I think the problem is that they knew it was coming. I did not know it was coming. There was no one there to warn me.
You mean the giant worshiping at the Pillar of Death didn't go, something bad might happen?
Yeah, no, yeah, bad times. Yes. Bad memories. I'm going to have to I really think that I don't think that I've seen it since.
Well, you'll have to watch it.
I have to. It will almost be therapeutic. It's like I have to go back and watch Poltergeist as well, because that's another movie that just ruined me.
Well, that's the other thing where it's like you watch it, it's not
scary.
It's not that bad, really. And you kind of look at it and you're like, well, you can see where the chest is like a fake.
Yeah.
Because they really didn't pull a heart out of it.
Obviously.
Guy.
Yeah.
You know, so, and you can see when he's like going down there and he's like moving around very mechanically.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not as scary, especially in this day and age where the effects are so different.
Right. Where you see like Hostel and it really does look like they're pulling little girls' eyes out.
Yeah. I wouldn't show Hostel to my kids.
Yeah.
That maybe next year.
I wouldn't show Hostel to myself.
Yeah. That's true.
I think that's the point. Moving on to number 2, because I'll let you do number 1.
This one actually hits, this one's the top of a lot of lists.
This is a huge, big-time famous scene. In fact, there was a video online the other day of these guys in San Francisco that made a boulder out of Legos and rolled it down a hill street in San Francisco.
And killed somebody.
And, well, no, it's funny, because if you go online, maybe we'll put it in the show notes. I've got it. It was sent to me by Peter. From Slash Film, who lives in San Francisco. And they made this boulder out of Legos.
And his dog got killed by the boulder.
And rolled it. No, not the dog. But they rolled it. They had a guy in a fedora and a leather jacket. Nice. And he ran. You know those big hills
in San
Francisco?
Was he in shape? Yeah, but was he in shape? Because if you did it like me, I'd be dead.
Yeah, no, he was in pretty good shape because
Legos
he didn't get run over. But this boulder just plowing down this hill of Legos. And it finally hit a car. So... Yeah, that's where it stopped.
That guy didn't get the memo.
Yeah, he didn't get the memo to move his car.
Wow.
But it was pretty funny. But the scene we're talking about, if you haven't picked it out by now, is a giant boulder scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's in the first, like, 10 minutes of the movie.
It's the opening. It's sort the opening of the climax sequence. To the opening.
You know, after Alfred Molina takes his leave from the series.
Doc Ock is like, throw me the adder, I'll throw you the whip. Adios, senor. Smash.
Yeah, exactly. So,
adios, amigos.
Adios, amigo.
I have to pull the right line.
Yep. So, there you go. The first scene of the first movie is number two.
Do you know that trip that where he trips in the middle of it?
Yeah.
That was real. That's a real trip.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I remember watching this thing like way back in like the early in 1981 when it came out, and he and Harrison Ford was being interviewed, and he's like, and they're like, well, it was a fake boulder. He's like, yeah, but it's like this giant thing made of plaster. It still weighed like 100 pounds.
Yeah, you know, still probably would have hurt a lot.
It would have like killed him.
Yeah,
so they're like, well, let's not put a real rock. We're just gonna put something that weighs like 1,000 pounds instead of a million, and he'll still die.
Yeah. So there you go.
But number one, and I put this because it spans two movies. It's a gag that went over two movies, and it's the shooting the swordsman. You know, it, for the iconic nature of it, how funny it was when it happened.
Oh, yeah.
How funny it was when they redid it in Temple of Doom, and all of the wild and crazy stories that came out of it. I don't know. You were probably too young for this. You didn't
probably.
Hear it. But there are things where people are saying the guy really got killed on set. That was an urban legend. That like a piece of the blank bullet actually killed him. And I'm like, if he really died, they wouldn't have kept. They'd be like, great, for his legacy, we're going to show the man's death on screen. You know, but it's just one of the most iconic and most memorable. And when it comes memorable moments.
Right, and I think what makes it so funny, at least in Raiders, is that you see Indy and he's standing there and he's got his whip. And it's like he's going to go fight him, and then he's just like, ah, screw it.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I don't have time for this.
Right, exactly. Very, very funny. So we've got some honorable mentions as well. I'll do the first one. We got the what's black and red, black and white and red all over from Raiders of the Lost Ark, a Nazi propeller.
Yeah, a Nazi and a propeller.
Yes.
Yes, because, and I realized when I was making this list, there's a lot of violent scenes that I put on this list. You know, you got face melting and snake surprise and hearts being ripped out
of chests.
And this guy who's like the big ass Nazi.
Right. Just gets chopped up.
Yes, and there really isn't a scene. There's a scene like that in Temple where the guy goes into the rock crusher.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to say sort of like the mano a mano fight scene in Last Crusade where the tank goes over the edge. But he wasn't like a bulky.
Right.
They usually, in the other movies, they had just like the huge guy. And they kind of have that in Crystal Skull.
Yes.
And he has a fun way of going away.
Right.
Yes. Ants.
Oh. You spoiler.
The rope bridge from Temple of Doom. This was another one that didn't quite make the full list, but it's still an awesome scene.
Well, the rope bridge didn't quite make the whole movie.
What?
Doesn't it fall apart?
Oh, it didn't survive. Yeah. Like, it didn't fall apart. It wasn't like just sitting there and fell apart. He chops them apart.
Yeah, like,
my favorite part of it, you watch it because you're going to watch Temple of Doom this weekend, right?
Yes, I think so.
Is when he's got his, and it's clear what he's going to do. Because for like 5 minutes, he's got his sword in his head. He's like, I'm going to cut this bridge.
Right.
And Mola Ram's like, oh, I don't believe you. He sends Willie Scott and Short Round on the bridge because he won't do it while he's there. And then he's like telling Short Round and like Chinese to hold on, and Short Round holds on, and Willie Scott knows, and he starts chopping the bridge. The best part, watch Mola Ram when he starts cutting. He's like, what the hell are you doing, man? It's the best part of the movie.
Nice. And finally, the last one we have from The Last Crusade on the
honorable mention.
The big blimp.
Zeppelin.
No ticket.
Yes. With a little bit of an homage to Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
From Dogma. No ticket.
No ticket. Kevin Smith's homage to Last Crusade.
No. I think Spielberg stole from Kevin Smith.
Okay, fair enough.
He went into time. He went ahead in time.
He went back and forth in time.
Exactly.
But that was funny, although not a very violent scene. He just pushes him out. He falls into a bunch of luggage.
Yeah, and he doesn't die.
Yeah.
He goes over the bridge in the tank scene later on.
So. Yeah, well, they had to keep him around for something.
That's right.
So there you have it, our 10 most memorable moments. When we come back, we've got DVD roundup. We're going to talk about all kinds of 80s movies that are coming out on DVD. And we'll wrap you up and we'll send you off for next week.
And we'll tell you how much Postal is probably going to suck.
And now Now, before we get into our DVD roundup, the official fun part of the show.
Because the rest of it was excruciating. We would like to say thank you for making it through the rest of the non-fun part of the show.
We would like to say a few words about Uwe Boll's Postal.
I want to hear my words. Go Sasquatch, ahead. Rippletini, and underpants. That's what, those are the few words I want to say about Uwe Boll. And the second one's not even a real word.
I would like to just express disappointment first, because I was excited that I was going to get to see an Uwe Boll movie in a theater, because I missed In the Name of the King almost purposely. But this time I was so ready to go see Postal because so many people are saying this is probably going to be his best movie ever. Because after this, they're probably not going to allow him to make anymore.
Well, you know, you may say that you haven't seen any in the theater, but for me, it's quite the opposite. as Uwe Boll said in his internet rant not too long ago.
Oh, man.
I wanted to see this. It's not even playing in Columbus.
It's not playing anywhere close to us.
Yeah.
Like Austin, Texas.
Yeah, it's in the Alamo Draft House, and like it's in New Jersey.
Right.
So, and the thing is, the reason Columbus is significant is a lot of times they will release some...
We got zombie strippers, man.
Zombie strippers and all that kind of thing. So they're not even going
to
try it on
college
campus.
They literally pulled it down to like 4 theaters.
Yeah.
Instead of the 1,500 that it was going to release in.
They really thought they could give Indiana Jones a run for its money. And then they said, no, we're not.
Yeah, no.
And what is Dave Foley doing in this movie?
I don't know. Well,
he's a good actor.
I'm still
kind of
interested. I'm gonna make a point to see it when it comes out on DVD.
Oh, yeah, I'll see it. And if it comes to town, I'll go see it at the theater.
Oh, yeah, if they bring it to Columbus.
We're going to the movie tavern and getting drunk.
If you bring your movie to Columbus, we will go see it. If you show up, we will go see it twice.
Well, you may. I'm not going to see it twice.
If Uwe Boll shows up.
Oh, if he shows up?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he won't show up. He's scared of me. We've established
that. Oh, yeah, that's
right.
We've established that. So, cool. Well, anyways, time to do our DVD roundup. This is where Indiana Jones' whip comes in handy.
Yes.
Wow. Finally, that comes in handy. Anyways, so this week I'm talking a little Blu-ray this week for my pick.
Are you feeling blue?
I'm not feeling blue, but I'm feeling ecstatic, especially about the 80s, because Short Circuit came out on Blu-ray this week. In fact, I did not realize that until we went to do this, the show prep, and I saw it on the list, and I was like, I need to leave and go buy this and come back.
Run, don't walk, right? Run, don't walk.
Run and get my exercise and run over to my local Best Buy and buy it.
Well,
that's
you
right.
know,
that, I just endorsed a retailer.
I heard a rumor that Short Circuit on Blu-ray has a chance.
Yes.
Not a guarantee, but a chance to make more money this weekend in Blu-ray sales than Indiana Jones is going to make in the theaters.
It does. I think that people are really, really not, they're underestimating the power of Johnny Five.
Yes.
So, but they're remaking the movie. Did you hear this?
Yes. Who's directing it?
Who cares?
It makes a lot of difference.
I have no idea.
I mean, because if Uwe Boll's directing it.
Well, I mean, in that particular case. But I'm excited about Short Circuit. There's also, I really
Mick
just
G
thought.
Mick G could direct it.
Mick G's doing Terminator. Okay.
Again?
Yeah. So there was just a lot of cool Blu-rays out. There Will Be Blood came out on Blu-ray. V for Vendetta and National Treasure came out on Blu-ray.
The original.
Yes. All kinds of cool movie studios sent me those other ones, but I didn't get Short Circuit, so I have to go buy it. It'll be on my DVDs I bought this week.
Ah, yes,
list.
Yes.
So, what's your pick?
For me, it's The Muppet Show Season 3.
Which is always exciting.
I love The Muppet Show.
Even though you've refused, if The Muppet Show should ever come back, to ever go on there.
Those are a bunch of tartar sauce eating puppets there. Tartar sauce eating socks.
Wow.
You got to understand Greg the Bunny for that. No, anyways, I love The Muppet Show. Season 2 really wasn't as good as Season 1. Season 1 was brilliant.
Yes.
Season 2 was a little bit slow. They kind of took the variety show aspect too seriously. Mm-hmm. And like in Season 3, they like don't do anything seriously, which is what's so great about the Muppets.
Okay.
Fair. They Harry Belafonte comes in there and he's going to, for the first time ever, perform the Banana Boat song
right
on live TV. Or not on live TV, on TV. And Fozzie Bear just keeps screwing it up. Because it's like he's getting everyone to sing and it goes, day! And then Fozzie goes, and not that he's trying to screw it up, but he just feels so bad about it.
He's just Fozzie. So, and for the stinker of the week, there's a little story behind this one. This is a movie that we both saw in the theater together.
Separately? Yeah.
I had beer when I was there. I don't remember who was there.
I went with my good friend Beer. My good friend Beer and I went to a movie.
No, I went with my friends, but when this one showed up at the...
Do you wake up with your good friend beer?
No. We don't get together until at least 10.
Yeah, I got to be up for at least an hour.
Right. So, but anyways, when this one showed up here at FSR HQ, I literally looked at it and I was like, no, I'm not watching this. And then I gave it to you and you're like, oh.
I'm watching it, actually. I just haven't gotten through all the special features.
Right. It's Strange Wilderness.
But the movie's so bad.
Easily one of the worst movies. Although I will say, Fox was nice enough to send me Meet the Spartans this week, and I watched it last night. And despite being short, that's probably the biggest waste of my time ever. It was atrocious. I at least laughed at Strange Wilderness. Meet the Spartans made me want to hurt myself.
Strange Wilderness, there's nothing they could do on the special features
that will explain why the movie sucks so
bad. That will make it a good review. Anyways, we got to wrap up the reviews.
Yeah.
Son of Rambo.
Son of Rambo totally rocked.
I say it kind of rocked. And then Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Totally rocked. Totally rocks, man.
Rock,
why
rock, rock.
Not?
Cool. Next week, we're going to be talking about Sex and the City for the ladies.
Yeah, we're actually going to review it.
Yes, yeah. The Strangers, and I don't know, I think we're even going to come near the Foot Fist Way, but it's going
to
be there.
I'm going to talk about it.
Go to fatguysatthemovies.com, email fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, and that's about it. We got to go.
Woo! I feel like we should play that.